Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are back in Bible study. And watching us on video, I know exactly what you're saying. You're like, why is this dude on video in his car? And it's like, well, that's a really good... Hey, Joe, come on, we'll share a little bit about what happened.
Okay, I can do that. Maybe if I can hit the right buttons here, David. Let me see. There we go. We're on it. Okay. Do you want to explain, or you want me to do it since it was on my fault? This is my fault.
We can blame you if you want. Here's the deal. We always record two halves, as you people know, and the first half from yesterday actually got corrupted. Some kind of gremlins or something came in and corrupted the first half. So the second half you're going to see is normal, but the first half you're going to see in this car, and we're going to try and remember what we said. Do you remember what we said?
Bits and pieces. I can tell you this. I know where I started yesterday, if that helps. Okay, and that's Exodus 33. I had mentioned several times that I thought there was a place in the Bible that was talking about no one has seen God and lived, and I found it in Exodus 33. And unfortunately, I don't have the verse up anymore. But
and then the first part is called "Who Told You You Were Naked?"
Yeah, that's the title of today's show. Who Told You You Were Naked? Boy, I'll tell you what, that's going to get some attention right off the bat there, David.
Yeah, it is. Maybe that's why it got corrupted. The powers that be didn't like the fact that we said they were naked.
That's possible, I guess.
But Genesis chapter 3, as we know, okay? So if you wanted to read some of Genesis chapter 3, and it's right after the fall, and it's Adam and Eve, and they just had, you know, little taste of their fruit, you know, had their little party going on there. And then they were like, oh, crap, I'm afraid. Adam's like hid himself in the garden because he was afraid. And then he said, I was afraid because I was naked. But Lord comes along and says, who told you you were naked? Remember that
okay,
part?
Well, hang on a second. I'll go ahead and read it. Let me see here. We're going to start... and just kind of a repeat from last week. The serpent said to the woman, this is verse 4 in chapter 3. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Because this is the tree of knowledge that we're talking about here. Okay, so anyway, in verse 6, so the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then their eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And you said something when we had the new recording of how in the world did they know to sew? And, you know...
Yeah. Not if you have a sewing machine, like a finger over in the corner. Well, who taught them to sew? Did they make needles and thread? So that's an interesting question. Here they are, just hanging out in the garden, and they didn't need to sew anything because they didn't wear clothes.
Right.
So I don't get it. But anyway, it's another thing on my question for Jesus when I go to see him.
There you go.
What do you mean they sewed fig leaves? How'd they know how to sew?
Okay, well, continuing on here, it says that I'm getting feedback from me, from you, David.
Oh, turn that down.
Okay, it says here, and I'm trying to make sure I'm not coming through. Okay, good. I think we're good now. He said, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? All right, I'm going to let you kind of fill in the blanks on that part of it before we go on.
Yeah, so it's interesting that he said he heard the Lord walking in the garden. He didn't see him. All right, so if... It looks like sin at this point cut off from face to face. And that speaks back to your reference of Moses. No man can see God face to face. And then you start to ask yourself, well, why is that? Well, because he is so righteous and holy. Had Adam seen his face, just like if Moses saw his face, he would have been destroyed instantly. You know, and when you learn all the quantum dynamics and everything, and you understand the immense power that's in the universe, and zero point energy, and how much that is in just one little cubic centimeter, then you start to understand, okay, he is that righteous and that holy that we can't even see him in the state that we're in our sinful state. But the good news is we shall see him face to face, because amen. When we get our glorified bodies, we'll be resurrected and we'll be holy and perfect again, and we'll be able to behold him as he is. And that's going to be amazing. Imagine how beautiful he is.
Oh, it's hard to imagine, but it's also beautiful to imagine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, if you could take all the beauty of anything you've ever seen, from a sunset to a bird to a flower to even, you know, people, that's often God shows me. It's like, oh, look at this person. He said, well, if you take away their sin, look how good looking they are. I'm like, wow, yeah. Okay, that one's got scars. This one's got, this one's just fat and ugly. That one's nasty. So it comes along over there and it's like, you know, I fall into fat and ugly part. But you say, okay, but now remove all the sin stuff and now look underneath that and see how beautiful they are. And then he told me one day, every single person ever has just a tiny bit of my beauty in them. So add that all together, and then they'll give you some idea of where I'm going with the beauty. And then add all the flowers together, and then add all the stars together, and then add all this. So it's just incomprehensible how beautiful he is. And when we see him, you know, I often wonder, what are we going to do when we see him face to face? Are we going to be so awestruck by his beauty? Are we going to be so grateful for what he's done for us? Are we going to be so, enamored with his love for us? It's like, how can I accept this? It's wild. All of that, I think, is combined into what we're going to do when we first finally see him face to face.
Well, that kind of brings up, you know, I've told you we're going for my 25th wedding anniversary. We're going to go see Mercy Me. Mm-hmm. And one of the songs that they do is called I Can Only Imagine. And part of that song is basically exactly what you just said there. You know, will I dance for you, Jesus, or will I fall to my knees? Will I be able to speak? You know, that kind of thing. And that's I Can Only Imagine. I mean, that's a perfect fit. Yeah, it's a perfect fit to that.
I think some people are imagining, let me correct your doctrine, Jesus.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen. That's not gonna happen. Okay, let's get back to nakedness here. Okay,
all right. So whatever the truth, tell me the truth.
Okay, so again, verse 8. Okay, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Did he really not know where they were, David?
Yeah, as if he didn't know. Okay. And I think it was more of like, "Hey, where's your head at?"
Yeah. Now, to me, and I think I said this when we were actually doing the show when you were appropriately positioned there, but this always seemed like. You know, God in three persons. There's God, there's Jesus, and there is the Holy Spirit. And my point before, and I'll let you comment on this again, is that I read into this, again, from the New King James Version, it says the Lord God. So, the Lord God, in my opinion, is Jesus Christ. Now, am I right on that or wrong on that, or maybe we just don't know on that?
In a sense, but that's the word Yahweh, or some people say Yahweh, you know, kind of mispronounces Jehovah, but basically, Yahweh Elohim, and that is, it encompasses all of them, because the Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh There's so many meanings in there.
Yeah.
One of them being, you know, he is the one who is and was and is to come. So right. Hava, as we see, Eve is the word Hava. Mm. So, or, which means like life and to be. And so the word Hava is actually to be. So okay. If you have Yod He Vav He, it's Yohawa, essentially Yahuwah.
Okay.
And that means it's literally a mixture of I am, I was, and I will be. It's
yeah.
The past, okay. Present, future tense of to be. So in that sense, he says, I am the one who is and was and is to come. And that is God the Father speaking that to the prophets.
Yeah.
But it's also Jesus in Revelation. He says, hold on, I'm the one who is and was and is to come.
Uh-huh. Right.
And he literally says it out. But that's, so he specifically says that he is the creator God. And then the creation is ascribed to the Holy Spirit as well in several places.
Yeah.
So it is Jesus in that sense, but it's also all three.
Yeah. Well, now, just last night, I began the Bible yet again. It's not the first time I've gone through it, obviously, but I began it again last night.
Okay.
And one of the things that stood out to me that has never made an impression on me before, early in Genesis, is it said that the Spirit of God, I forget the exact terminology, you probably know it.
Yeah, it hovered above the waters. Yeah.
Right, okay, well, that's the Holy Spirit. So in Genesis, in the very first book of the Bible, all three, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit are all in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about early, early, early on here, because the Holy Spirit shows up like right away.
Creation, yeah.
Yeah. And that had never hit me before. You know, I don't know why, but it goes to show you that no matter how many times you read the Bible, something else is going to jump out at you and you go, oh, wow, I never saw that before.
Yeah, so who put that in there?
Yeah. I had to throw that in because, like I said, I just started it again last night. Okay, so let me see. The Lord God called Adam and said, where are you? And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And the response there is, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? And after that, the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. Now, you had a good response to that one yesterday. I want you to go into it again.
Yeah, when you say it, it sounds like God was a southerner. I thought it was naked. What happened?
Okay.
Naked. You could be the naked prophet. So he first of all, how did he know he was naked?
Right.
Okay. And then the question becomes, why did they cover their loins, it says.
Right.
So the particular reproductive parts, they somehow knew just to cover those, and that's where we stand today. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the only things in the universe that actually wear clothes.
Right.
Everything else is just, they're just out there flopping in the breeze.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, why do we wear clothes? And that's to cover us, because we were covered with his glory before, but we lost his glory.
Yep.
And now Adam and Eve, in my humble yet totally accurate opinion, in my opinion, they saw their reproductive parts and they're thinking, oh man, now each and every one of our offspring is going to be with sin,
cursed.
And somehow we have to cover that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, and I had asked a question of you also that, you know, had they had any children yet? While they were, it doesn't appear that was the case.
Now, if Jubilee says they were there for 7 years exactly until this, fruit tree event, Mm-hmm. That's when Nakash came. So we surmise, okay, number one, how come she's talking to the serpent? All right?
Yeah.
Well, the serpent was obviously much better looking than it is today and not as scary because it hadn't sinned at this point.
Right.
And so that led us to think, okay, did all the animals talk? And this is just normal for her?
I think either they talked or they knew how to communicate with each other. I mean, even today, even in today's world, animals seem to be able to communicate with each other fairly well. So, you know.
Yeah, but they definitely can communicate with each other, and people know what their dog is thinking. Come on, everybody knows that. And they could just look at you with their eyes and go, oh, steak? Right. Can I have some of your steak, please? Steak?
Right.
Steak looks great. You know, I like steak, right?
So
And birds can communicate. Yeah, birds are really smart. They get to talking birds. They can at least repeat what you say. Some of them could actually respond and have, like, they say it's a mentality of, like, a five-year-old.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I had cockatiels at one time. Not parrots. Mm-hmm. Parrots were too expensive for me, but I had cockatiels at one time. And they talked. But they could only remember, I mean, they could only say what I taught them over repeat a billion times, and, you know, they finally catch it, you know.
I don't know how true it is, but I have seen videos of they actually have conversations, so I don't know if they're prompted, hey, if I say this, then you say that.
Yeah.
Or maybe they've heard it before, maybe they've heard the conversation back and forth, so when they hear something, it's a trigger.
Yeah.
But it appeared they communicate.
Yeah.
I know, but in any case, I think they did. Because, Adam was talking to them all, and he named them all. And, you know, now we're the one, all creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. So did we create that barrier there? And will they be able to talk again? So that's another question. Put that one on the list. You know. Okay. Along with how did they know how to sew? So and did the animals talk? And what language was it?
You know, yeah.
Was telepathic, even.
Good questions there that we have no answer for.
Yeah, we'll find out soon enough. That's on the list.
So
put it on the list.
Anyway, the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it you've done?" And the woman said, "Well, the serpent deceived me, and I ate."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it seemed to me like both of them were blaming somebody else. Nobody wanted to take responsibility for this action, which, according to God, will cause them to die. And nobody wanted to take the only one that didn't speak here is the serpent. Why didn't the serpent speak?
Well, the serpent has a one-sided contract, an adhesion contract. Mm-hmm. He's just going to do what he's told, and that's it. Whereas Adam and Eve, they were created in the likeness and in the image of God. And according to contract law, which is the Bible, only things of like kinds can negotiate back and forth within a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, they were able to negotiate, but they broke the contract. You know, they violated the terms and conditions where they ate the fruit. And now in the day that they eat thereof, they shall surely die, which gives me that probably the reason Adam was afraid, because he's like, oh, God's going to kill me now.
Right.
Because he's in the day that you eat thereof.
Yeah.
And but now he pronounced all this stuff on it. So the serpent couldn't talk back. That leads me to this, too, though. Why did Eve even talk with the devil to begin with? Well, if the animals talked and she just normally talked to this serpent thing all the time anyway, and here comes the devil and he just kind of slides his way and usurps the body of the serpent, and she had no reason or cause to believe that he had anything nefarious in his mind at all. So it's not like she's guarding anything. There was never any sin.
Right.
She's hanging out, if Jubilees is correct, for 7 years, hanging out, and she's just talking to everybody. Everything's great.
Yeah.
Why would she suspect anyone's lying to her?
Right. Yeah. Okay. That makes perfect sense.
So I don't think it's blame so much. I think everyone likes to do that because, you know, in the modern Western church, it's all about guilt, right?
Right.
Okay. But that's not really the Hebrew mindset. The Hebrew mindset is just matter of fact. So we back up a little bit and we go, Adam said, oh, remember that beautiful woman? Because we, the inflections, we talked about it, inflections. What, I didn't say he stole the money, or I didn't say he stole the money, or I didn't say he stole the money.
Yeah.
All of its inflection. So where's the inflection in this? Did Adam say, that woman you gave me? As it, like a disdain? No, he loved her. He said, my bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and I'm going to cleave unto her. This is what I want back, because that's the rib. That's part of me. That's half of me that was taken out. I want that back inside of me. Okay, so why would he have a nefarious purpose for the woman? No. And is he going to blame God? No. Why would he blame God? God is the provider of everything and always has been and always will be.
Right.
He's a good provider, and he knows that because he walked face to face with him in the garden all the time.
Right.
So he wouldn't blame God. So I don't think he's blaming his wife. I don't think he's blaming God. Yeah. What I think is the inflection is, you know, that beautiful bride that you gave me and the one that you love me so much and gave me this bride. Well, she gave me this fruit, so I ate it. And kind of saying, I knew what she had done, but it's my bride, and I want to keep her, so I went in after her.
Yeah.
And we see that borne out in the New Testament, where Paul says, it wasn't Adam who sinned, but Eve, therefore, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And then we went into dangerous territory, talking about wives being in submission, so maybe not.
Yeah, right.
Only that one alone.
Okay, maybe that's why the file went bad. Who knows?
Maybe that's why it crapped out on us.
Okay,
some woman came along. I'll show you. that woman you made corrupted our file.
The next part of this, though, is the Lord God is talking to the serpent, and he said, because you've done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. There's a lot in there, too, and I won't let you go with that one.
Yeah, so the woman doesn't have seed.
No.
That's interesting. I dare say the devil doesn't have seed either, because he was not made to procreate.
Right.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
So when you look up the word, it actually means in the Hebrew, you're following, kind of. So you're like the Bible said, that Jesus clearly told the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. So it's a progeny. It's not necessarily a specific, like he had a baby. But the ones who follow him, so it's a follow.
Because there are followers of
what it means.
Yeah, there are followers there.
As opposed to the noon is actually a seed, like a physical seed.
Okay, next up.
Like
here.
When it says Ben Noon, who was it? Was Ben Noon. It's like son of the seed.
Yeah.
And that's what it means.
Now, I can't remember exactly where we left off in the first half when the...
It was somewhere around here.
Foul we got. Okay. So that's what I was thinking before we get into another area. And if we miss part of this, I promise you we'll go back. This is kind of thrown together.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Kind of thrown together here at the last minute trying to recover a show. We're down to like 350. David, just to let you know.
All right.
So,
there's a couple things here. Then let me hammer some things home.
Okay.
We see that, number one, he knew it was sin. He thought he was going to die. That's why he was afraid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We see that it probably wasn't blame. I know, you know, we like to have a guilty mentality in today's church.
Yeah.
That comes from the Puritans. Everything they did was wrong. They killed you if you celebrated Christmas, the Puritans. I don't know.
Oh, man. Okay.
it was pretty rough back then.
Wow.
And everybody was a witch. They threw you in the lake. If you floated, you were a witch, and they killed you. And if you sank to the bottom, you weren't a witch. So
they said, made a mistake on that one. That's crazy.
Oh, she's not a witch. Too bad she's dead.
Oh, man.
So crazy stuff like that. But here we are. I don't think it's a blame. I think he loved his life so much. He loved his wife so much that he went in after her, just like Jesus. He loved us so much that he jumped in that sin cauldron, if you would. He jumped into Hades to pay for that sin himself in order to redeem us. And I kind of have that because he's the second Adam. Mm-hmm. I kind of think that's what happened because, you know, he's analogous to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there we are. He just kind of jumped in after him. And then, and Adam called his wife Eve. Apparently it was after this fall. So what did he call her before the fall? Because it was now we see him say he named his wife Eve or Chava.
Yeah.
Because she's mother of all the living.
Right.
All right. So she's going to give birth to all the living. And then we see in Enoch 15, this is what he talks about. You know, men were to die. So that's why they were given to have children so they can continue their progeny, where angels were not. So then the questions, okay, if we weren't going to die before the fall, then that could be a reason they didn't have children yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, had they there is another part of this where it says, you know, we got to make sure they don't eat of the tree of life, otherwise they live forever. And I do know that we covered that in the second half of the show, so I'm going to let that one stand for now. David, we've got about 1 minute. So you want to tell everybody about your Thursday evening Bible study,
live stream. And we'll do that, and then you can take us out and ask some people before their file gets corrupted. They can see the book.
Okay.
Because it may get today. But Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, we have an interactive discipleship study, and we talk about all these wonderful things, but you can have some input, and we can ask questions, and we just go where the Holy Spirit leads. Just go to thehiddenday.com, thehiddenday.com. Click on the link for Thursday night Bible study or discipleship study. And that's, again, 8 p.m. Thursday nights. We'll see you there.
Yes, sir. And I hope to be there this evening. We'll see. But I do want to invite everybody to show up there. If you have not accepted Christ yet, you need to do so because the rapture could happen at any moment. Everything is in place for it, and you can avoid that by simply telling the Lord that you know you're a sinner, ask for forgiveness, and let him know that you want to follow Jesus Christ all the rest of your life. Okay, we'll be back to normal in the second half of the show, guys, so hang in there with us on this special edition of Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Simon Gaitan. The UN Secretary General has called for an immediate cessation of Israel's attacks in the occupied West Bank. Israeli military raids in the occupied West Bank are reportedly the largest in decades, targeting 4 cities, and have killed at least 18 Palestinians, according to Palestinian authorities. At least 3 people have been killed and more than 50 have been injured as Typhoon Shanshan makes landfall in Japan on Thursday. The storm is thought to be one of the most powerful on record and is bringing extreme winds, deluges and storm surges. Chris Gilbert reports from Tokyo.
The storm is moving slowly at just 15 kilometers per hour or 9 miles per hour, prolonging the effects for residents of Western Japan and heightening the chance of disasters such as flooding and landslides. It first hit the coastal city of Kagoshima on Thursday, where it cut power to more than 160,000 people. Fallen trees have blocked many of the roads around the city. In nearby Miyazaki, 22 people were injured after being hit by glass after a window blew out in extreme winds. Warm air from the storm is creating downpours throughout all of Japan. A landslide in central Aichi Prefecture on Tuesday hit a house with 5 occupants. 2 have been rescued, 1 died, and the other 2 are unaccounted for. Authorities are urging everyone in the country to be extremely vigilant as the storm moves over Japan in the coming days. It's expected to be downgraded to a tropical storm by the weekend. Chris Gilbert in Tokyo.
Expanding military aid for Ukraine has been a key focus of discussion during a meeting of foreign ministers in Brussels. Kyiv says the bold decisions are needed to capitalize on momentum following the country's recent incursion into Russian territory. William Denslow reports from Brussels.
In a meeting with Ukraine's foreign minister, the European Union's foreign affairs chief, Josep Borrell, says they discussed the need to lift restrictions on the use of weapons against Russian targets. Dmytro Kuleba says bold, short-term decisions are needed to achieve long-term peace in Europe. Diplomatic support for Ukraine and President Volodymyr Zelensky's proposed peace plan is also on the agenda during Thursday's informal meeting of the Foreign Affairs Council. EU foreign ministers are also discussing developments in Gaza and the West Bank, as well as the political situation in Venezuela. William Denslow, Brussels.
The 2024 Paralympics are underway on Thursday with the first official day of competition. 22 gold medals are being handed out on August 30th as 11 days of sport begins. Ross Cullen reports.
The Games are now underway after a spectacular opening ceremony in the heart of the French capital on Wednesday. The opening day of Paralympic sporting action will see the first of 549 gold medals handed out. Thursday's medal events are in cycling, swimming, table tennis and taekwondo. Last time out in Tokyo, China topped the medal table, but they will face stiff competition from the United States, Great Britain and the hosts France, who had a very successful Olympics. Ross Cullen, Paris.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Hey, everybody, we are back. So, no rapture yet, JD.
No, not yet, but it could happen any second now.
We're still looking up. So, anyway, since we're still here, let's keep on talking about this terrific verse that we're hearing. So, we were in Genesis, and we were reading like 3:16. It's all. So, where did that go? Here it is. All right. So, because you have done this, he says in verse 14, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I will put enmity between you and the woman. Ah, so now there's a little bit more to it now. And between your seed and her seed. So, that begs a question. Does the serpent have seed? You know, does the devil really have offspring?
I don't think so. I don't think so, but I could be wrong. But
yeah, or is it something a little bit deeper than that?
Yeah, it would have to. Well, in my opinion, it would have to be deeper, but you got the answer, I know.
Yeah, well, it's fruit.
Okay.
So figuratively, fruit and posterity.
Okay,
so yeah, we see that, oh, it says your seed and her seed, but we could say, hey, your posterity, basically anyone who's following after you. And we do see that in the New Testament. Jesus tells the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil.
Okay.
So it's not like he actually had a baby. It's, his posterity, the people that are following.
Those people that follow him, like the Satanists of today.
Okay. And they're the father. And you can be adopted out of there and get rid of that father if you want.
Right.
And we could take the father of the universe. And that's why we see him in that picture.
Yeah.
That's why that he's that part of the Trinity to show, hey, and that's for posterity. Hey, you can live this way. I'm your creator, your father. Yeah. Not like Luke.
Now, the next couple of lines there, I know you're going to go deep. I know you are. I know you by now, okay? And I know you're going to go deep with this because there is a lot in those two sentences. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And there's a lot more to it than just a little bruise. Okay, there's a lot more to it than that. Go, David. I'm going to turn it over to you there.
We actually do this. This is written in the stars when you see, when I did that whole presentation about the Montserrat, you saw how there was, they call him Zeus now, I think, or Hercules, and he's stepping on the head of Draco the dragon, and he bruises him. But that's actually not him. That's the savior in the original interpretation of it all. They just tried to hijack. But we see that in there. And what that means, and so his head is means your thoughts and your opinions and your leadership, and he's gonna bruise your head. And you're not going to be able to do these things. But you shall bruise him on his heel. And we see that the word Jacob means heel grabber. So, like a conniver, like someone, because that's what he did with his brother. He grabbed his heel on the way out.
So there
is a ton of this stuff on there. And then when we see Jesus on the cross, one of the places, he was nailed was to his feet.
Yeah, was the heel,
and some people think, "Oh, it's this way," but they actually have, physical evidence that they would put the foot on the side and then drive the nail in this way.
Yeah, I saw a thing with the Egyptian, what do you call it, the Iniquities Department or something like
Iniquities,
that.
Yeah.
And they had one of those, you know, from way back in Jesus' day. The heel with the nail in it, you know.
Yep.
So that always, you know.
If you did it this way in the front of the foot, they wouldn't be able to stand up. They wouldn't be able to use that. But the whole reason they did that is they would lengthen the suffering period for the people on the cross. Because if they put in the nail in the heel sideways, then they wouldn't suffocate. If they're hanging there, they would just suffocate and they'd die quickly. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they put a nail in the heel so the people can lift up and still breathe, and it would take longer for them to die. That's the whole reason they did it.
Another thing on that, and I know we weren't really going to talk about the crucifixion today, but we are now. In that same presentation I saw, and you may have a different take on it, and if so, speak, of course. But this guy was saying the cross isn't like what people think. I mean, and I'm not talking about being a cross, because it is a cross. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the way that they put them on the cross. It's not to where they had their arms out, straight out, and then nailed in like that, but instead put their arm over the bar on each side and nailed it from the back of the cross into it, to where you actually are kind of holding on to the cross and hanging there. That to me seems like that would also lengthen the period of time that you would suffer.
Yes.
So
because it can technically hold on and just stay there, and you're just exposed.
Right. And so does that make sense to you, or is that?
Yeah. That's perfect sense, because that's what they wanted to do is they wanted you alive on that thing so they can parade everybody by there and say, this is what happens if you deny the Roman government.
Right. If you do something against us.
And the people are up there and they're in agony and they're in pain and they're like tortured for days.
Hours, if not days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the reason they couldn't believe Jesus died so fast.
Right. And they're like, how did he die? Because if you did the way we have it, he would have died quickly anyway.
Yeah,
But if they said, how did he die so fast? Then they made it so you would stay up there a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And how did he die so fast? They tore all the skin off his back and pulled all his hair out.
Yeah. I mean, all the torture beforehand was enough to kill him. You know, the cross was just like the final straw,
right?
Basically,
and even that didn't kill him. He said, "I give up my spirit."
That's correct. Yeah, that's an important point right there. That's real important. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, David. Like I said, I know we weren't going to the crucifixion, so I apologize for that.
That's
taking you off balance here.
Okay, that's where the Holy Spirit goes. That's where we go.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So bruise your head, and you shall bruise him on the heel, and that's so we see that. And that's a whole big study in itself.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going here is to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
In pain, you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.
The cheat subject there.
That's interesting.
Touchy. That's touchy. That's touchy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
not that we're going to avoid it, but you know that's touchy subject there.
Well, let's look at it because then I mean you have the whole Islam view is I'm going to rule over you,
right?
And and you're just I'm going to basically what's that word I'm looking for?
you're a second class citizen. You are the permanent submissive. You know, to the man, and that's
they're subversive, and they're like they literally consider women a half a vote,
right?
Mm-hmm. And it's just ridiculous, and then they cover them up because you're just gonna do what I want. God forbid they show their ankle, then they get beat at home,
right?
It's really bad, and that's they misconstrue this, all right? It's not really what it says. Now, I did go to the Septuagint on this one, too.
Okay.
And it says something different. Like in the New American Standard and King James, it says, your desire will be for your husband.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now the Septuagint says, thy submission shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's a better sentence. It fits better. Mm-hmm. You know, be submissive, and he'll rule over you.
Whatever you want to call it, you know how they put the little letter in there and reference point, whatever. It's toward. 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 Yeah. T-O-W-A-R-D.
Oh, toward. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll be toward your husband. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your desire will be toward your husband. Okay. So the word desire there is a original set of stretching out or longing, teshukwa, and feminine meaning longing, to describe the feelings of desire that one person has for another, but it was not always a healthy desire. Mm-hmm. As part of a judgment after Adam and Eve's sin, God said that woman would long for her husband. People are not the only thing that can long. God told Cain, his sin is the desire, and the same word there, the desire to enter. So it's longing to enter. So it probably is better as desire. I don't think the sentence they translate into Greek as the submission.
Yeah. Okay. Which makes, right. Okay.
And it shall rule over thee. And it's not a rule that he's going to be a jerk about it.
That's right.
I think that's the real thing.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, I know people don't want to hear this, but it's true. The male body is stronger than the female body.
And, yes.
You know, we're just built different than a woman is. And so, you know, I saw where in the Olympic Games they allowed a man, a biological male, to compete in a boxing match against a biological female. And she said she'd never been hit that hard in her life. She quit. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then apologized for it later because, you know. But anyway, I want you to understand, God does not make mistakes. I'm going to make it really clear. God does not make mistakes. If you were born a man, you're a man. If you were born a woman, you were born a woman. And you can make up your own science if you want to, but it don't count. God does not make mistakes. End of statement. Okay. Go ahead, David.
We read in there, let me see. It talks about, Adam did not sin, right? It was not. Let me see. Praying from Adam and Rose. Not even them sin. Let me see. Because it was Eve that sinned, basically, and not Adam. So that's what led me to surmise that, okay, he went in after her. And because of that, because she was the one that was deceived, and she went after her, and she ate the fruit, and then Adam said, what am I going to do? This is my bride. Mm-hmm. I got to go in and get here. That's when we see that he did that. So that's why there's that rule over it. Mm-hmm. But the problem becomes, people think it's like a bossy kind of a rule. Like, you're just going to do what I say, and I'm the king of the universe, and you have to listen to me. It's not that. It's more of a... But like a father and daughter relationship, but not quite that weird.
Right,
like, just
right.
Have more authority, more. And
yeah.
All right, let me go where I'm eventually going to go, and that's okay. They say the husband is the head of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so think of that kind of a relationship, and that's where we're at. Jesus and the church. That's what the husband and the wife. So, is Jesus going to be a jerk to his bride?
No.
Okay, is he going to, like, yell at her and make her submissive? And is he going to beat us up
to
get us to do what he said?
No.
Okay, if we make a mistake, is he going to whip us?
No.
Okay, exactly. So, you really got to, you have to be like Jesus was. Mm-hmm. And what he did is he corrected in love. But he used his strength not as a domineering kind of thing. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, it's not a master-slave relationship.
He wasn't trying to dominate.
Right.
He's saying, because just by his very nature, he is superior.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what it is. So the position of the husband is that position of authority of strength, but because of that, he is that much more concerned about how he treats his bride.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this is looking at, is, you know, is a strength and a control and a concern, not a controlling nature.
Yeah. Not, and this isn't the only time, by the way, this isn't the only time in the Bible that that point is made. But, you know, we'll leave that to another day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so... All right, sorry. Just cleaning up the desktop a little bit.
No, you're fine now.
So, but this is where I wanted to go. So here, what happens is you have to have the opinion. If he said, yet your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you, that was a result of sin, was it not?
Right. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Okay. So, which would lead you to believe this was not the case before sin.
No, it sounded like they were dead equal.
Yeah.
In the beginning, okay. Yeah.
So that's where you have this. When we're in Christ, that's why he says there is no male or female, Jew or Greek, or blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
in Christ, we are restored to that original thing where we're right. equal again.
Right.
Because he has paid for this sin that we messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where I wanted to go.
Yeah, it's just an individual type of instruction or correction or whatever based mm-hmm. on the based on the sex, right? I mean, that would, to break it down all the way down, that's mm-hmm. really what it is. You know, the female body versus the male body. What's the best deal to do there? And only God knows how to do that.
Yeah. But when Christ comes back, he restores us. Mm-hmm. So then it is a touching topic, because if you say, oh, you know, the husband is the head of the wife and, you know, the wife needs to submit, mm-hmm. people get all bent out of shape.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
it's because you're misunderstanding it.
Yeah, submit I've been in Sunday school classes, David. I said, you know, this isn't the only place in the Bible, and it's not. This isn't the one where they really go nuts. It's another place in the Bible. Yeah. But and I have been in Sunday school classes where the war broke out over this stuff.
And on one hand, I can understand what they're saying, because for so long it's been abused
mm-hmm.
where, hey, you're just going to do what I say because I'm the boss.
Yeah,
I'm start the boss. Whacking
yeah.
on people.
Yeah.
No, that's not the case. You need to demonstrate your strength and leadership abilities,
mm-hmm.
okay, and your protection abilities, and say, okay, well, somebody needs to be the head,
mm-hmm.
so that just happens to be me. It doesn't
right.
make you less.
Right.
But now we're in Christ, and Christ is a head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a kind of the picture we need. So I'm trying to really walk gently here, not
yeah.
to try and annoy anyone.
Right.
But
exactly.
that's what it says. And,
okay.
and it's because it was
we're not
going to
run from it. We're not running yeah. from the text. We'll never do that. We will never do that.
No, you can't. But yeah, I could feed it to you better. I could water mm-hmm. it down a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So it tastes better now. Yeah, like, I love you, all right? I love you. Here's some water in here.
There Take you
it.
Go.
All right. So here's some good news for you wives. And Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree, which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat, cursed is the ground because of you.
Mm.
All right? So the ground's cursed because of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Not because of Eve.
Yeah.
The ground is cursed because of Adam. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Okay? By the sweat of... You eat the plants. Mm. Also, we always like the fruit. I like the fruit better. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and you shall return to dust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So here we see another part of it. We often talk about entropy, right? And...
Mm-hmm.
Everything is breaking down in the universe.
Right.
Here's the beginning of it. It'll grow thorns and thistles. All right. The ground is cursed. So we're starting to see all this disruption
mm-hmm.
in the world and in all of creation. Now, when we went over the first 6 days, it said from chaos to order, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the evening and morning, from chaos
right.
to order, chaos to order. He said, okay. This was formless and void, and I made it into this.
Mm-hmm.
There was no life, and I made chickens. You know,
mm-hmm.
There was no fish, so I made some fish.
Right.
And every day he created the stars and the sky. He created the land. He created all things that were nothing, and he made them into something.
Perfect.
And now we see, because we messed up this contract and we screwed up the title deed, and now everything's starting to fall apart and go back to the way it was, to chaos.
Yeah, I'm sure glad that Adam did that, because I get really tired of walking out in my backyard and getting a thorn in my foot.
These weeds are your fault, jerk.
I've talked about him. I'll talk to him about that someday.
You get up there. Well, you better watch out, though. I think he's like 9 feet tall.
Yeah, he's probably a big boy.
Yeah. Remember, he started out full. Mm-hmm. So I hope we were gentle enough with that.
Yeah,
the wife thing.
Me too, because we really aren't here to make anybody upset. But the thing is that we do have to present the Bible as it is written, because we believe in the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelation, and we believe it is all true. And you know, because we do believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. So, and that brings everything to all the distortions. Mm-hmm. All the distortions we see, and that's the result of sin. And all creation groans and travails for the manifestation of the sons of God. Mm-hmm. So we're moving along here. Now the man called his wife's name Eve. Mm-hmm. Oh, most people don't realize that.
Yeah, well,
why wasn't she a mother for that first 7 years? Why wasn't she called Eve?
Well, Adam named all the animals. We covered that.
Back then.
But you know, now that I think about it, looking back, thinking, maybe I'm wrong here, but thinking, it seems like God always referred to him as the man and the woman. So this Eve thing is new, right?
Or did it is.
Okay.
Well, it's interesting. The Septuagint translated as life.
Okay.
And that's what it means in the Hebrew. We say Eve, but it's Chava, and Chava is life. Okay, so it literally, her name, when you render it out, is the life giver, and it fits a sentence. Mm-hmm. Now the man called his called his wife's name life giver, because she was the mother of all the living.
Yeah, mother of all the living. And now, stupid question again, but they hadn't had kids yet, right?
Apparently.
You think they have?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Apparently they have not.
Okay.
Apparently they have not had kids yet.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. I wanted to make sure I was... Okay, go ahead.
Because it wasn't until after the fall that he said, oh, she's the life giver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if we look at Enoch chapter 15, then we see how the eternal ones... Where they basically, the fallen angels are trying to get Enoch to talk to God, and you know, hey, listen, we messed up. Can we come back?
Give him a pass. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Enoch is like, I mean, God says to Enoch, he says, they're supposed to intercede for you. Why are you up here interceding for them? And he said, so he said, tell them this. He said, you were angels. You were in an eternal state. Mm-hmm. Okay. And man was given a wife because he dies,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to pass on to posterity. But you had your first estate. You were eternal. You didn't need a wife.
Right.
Yet you went down there and took a wife.
Yeah.
So my question is this. Before this, Adam and Eve, did they not have to have kids because they were eternal?
Yeah, that's another one of them things that's always bugged me throughout my life is, you know, okay, if they never did anything with the tree of knowledge, then would we even be here? Yeah, would we even be here? Yeah, that's always been a question. I don't have an answer.
Yeah, because it was after this fall and after the curse that he said, "Okay, you're the mother of all the living."
Yeah,
so that's a really interesting question. How come waited? Because like we said, Jubilees, it was 7 years later,
mm-hmm.
so they didn't have kids for 7 years.
And the answer there, for those of you that don't understand this, is that God knew everything that was going to happen before it happened. That's the reason he said that he wrote the book, you know, the way that he did, knowing the ending. So, this was not a surprise to God, is my point.
Right. But it's still got to play itself out. That's really weird.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So here we go in verse 22. Then the Lord God said, so Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which it was taken. So he drove the man out. And at the east of the garden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every which direction to guard the tree of life. So we're going to really dig into that cool stuff next time, but let's touch on it now.
Yeah, I'm real interested in this one. Because I'm still wondering whether or not that thing is still there going around and around.
Yeah, it is. But it's a flaming sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So think of this. It has the idea of covert magic, actually, flaming sword. So I believe this is a plasma field separating the dimensions.
Oh, you think? My initial thought was, well, how about if it's in a volcano or something?
It could be. That'd be a flaming sword. But this is so he's got angels there, and the angels are, so it's a flaming sword, because that's what we can understand. Oh, it's a sword, because that's a weapon.
Right.
But Tesla figured out how to manipulate electricity and plasma and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Grab a Tesla coil one day. That's always fun. So I think it was probably more something like that.
Okay.
Where, hey, this plasma will actually separate that dimension of eternity, because it's the tree of life.
Yeah.
So here, in God in his mercy said, well, he's like one of us. Okay. So now he knows good and evil, and he has sinned. We have to block him from eating the tree of life until we fix the sin problem, or else he'll be stuck for eternity in that sin.
Right. Yeah.
So that's where we're at here. That's why he had to throw him out of the garden. That's why he had to block it with the cherubim and the flaming sword.
Okay. That makes sense. It really does. I've always wondered that question of whether or not that thing was still there. And I just assumed it was, because I didn't see anything in the Bible that said it didn't, that it wasn't. So I just figured it was there, and we just didn't know it.
Well, we're going to talk about that next time. So why don't you tell them about how they might get saved, if we don't make it the next time, because the Lord comes back.
Absolutely. And all you've got to do is just say a very simple prayer to the Lord in your own words, and just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I know Jesus Christ is your son. I know he came and he died on the cross for me. I know he was buried and he rose on the third day. I know that he has risen, that he is with you, and he's waiting on a command to go get his church. That's the moment's called the rapture. I don't want to be here after that, because I know that that means 7 years of tribulation. I don't want any part of that. I promise to follow you the rest of my days of my life, even if it's 1 second from now. And I ask you for your forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you'll do that, and again, it's not scripted. You say it in your own words, and God will listen to your heart. And if you mean it, you will be saved. We'll see you next time. Until then, God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.